Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We come before you to give glory and praise to your holy name. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. And we ask, Father, that you would bless your servants and that you would bless your ministry throughout this world. Wherever you find people who are keeping your Sabbath day and keeping your commandments, who are coming together, we ask that you would unify your people and that you would touch hearts and cause them to bow before you, Father, and give glory to your holy name. We know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns, and we ask, Father, that you would endow us with more of your Holy Spirit and more of your power so that we can push forth this ministry and do your will and touch hearts so that people would give glory to your holy name and turn to you with repentance. So we love you, Father, and we thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon your servants. And we ask that you would bless again those that have a petition before you on the prayer list and that you would touch hearts. We know, Father, that we have but a short time. And we ask that you would raise up many workers in these last days because the fields are white to harvest and there are people seeking to be a part of your kingdom. They just need to be taught. So help us, Father, to reach those people and to help them serve you. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Bless the words that you've prepared for us this day, that they would have free course in us, and that they would truly bless our lives. Again, we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go back to video.
You may be seated. We're actually continuing the series Connected to the Source. This is part 9. And next week will be the last and final part to the series. The first thing we must do in our lives when confronted with the truth is that after we have examined our lives, we need to immediately repent. When we commit ourselves to a life of repentance, we must be ready to go through the repentance cycle. There's a cycle of repentance. And the reason that we have to go through this cycle of repentance is because we constantly sin. We constantly fall short of the mark. So we have to go through this cycle. And there's four parts to the cycle. The first part is the consideration part. The second is to confess. We confess our sins to Yahweh. And the third part is to commit. And then the fourth part is the actual change. See? So we go through this four-part cycle of repentance. So the first part is to consider. And we're going to go to Haggai chapter 1. That's the first scripture. We're going to go to Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. Now, Haggai, the name means my festivals, my feast days. It says, now therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is no one warm. And he that earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says Yahweh. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. But when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says Yahweh of hosts? Because my house that lies waste, while you run every man to his own house. Therefore, for your sake, the heavens withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground teems forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hand. Almighty Yahweh is the one that blesses us with the things that we have. He blesses us with everything. See, our houses aren't our houses. They're His. We're just the managers of the blessings that He gives us. We're just the stewards of the wealth that He has blessed us with. See? But that first step is to consider. We have to consider our ways and our words, what we say, and how we respond to each other. Turn to the book of Joel, another of the minor prophets. And that's Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. And this is under the consider, which is, you know, the first step of the repentance cycle. It says, yet even now, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn to Yahweh your Elohim, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and He repents concerning the evil. Who knows whether He will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind Him, even a meal offering and a drink offering to Yahweh your Elohim. So Yahweh wants us, instead of, and it's a Jewish custom when they are showing their mournful condition that they rend their clothes, they tear their clothes, see? And He's telling them not to tear the clothes, rend your heart. This is what needs to be torn so that you can consider where you are. And see, go to this next step, which is confess. Confess your sins to Yahweh. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. See? We are very, very selfish creatures. We are designed actually to care for one another. But most people, and it may be just our society, but I don't think so because this is pretty much worldwide, most people think of self first, see, instead of others. And if we think of others, we will see the world in a different light. We will see people in a different light. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, remember, this whole series is about being reconnected to Yahweh. Satan is the one that came between Yahweh and Adam and Eve. He came between Yahweh and Cain. He comes between Yahweh and everyone. And this is why we have to be reconnected, because we have to understand the lies that have been told by Satan that pulls people away from Yahweh. It starts in verse 6. It says, and Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? See, he had respect to Abel's offering, and Cain got upset. He got upset. If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin crouches at the door, and to you shall be his desire. But you should rule over him. And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. That's a violation of the covenant. He took his brother's life away. And see, what's so important about this is what comes next in verse 9. And Yahweh said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother? I do not know." He lied. See? He lied. He followed after the father of lies, Satan the devil. Satan had won him over. He broke down and lied to Yahweh. He didn't know. And this is the kicker right here on top of it. He says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now cursed are you from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shall you be in the earth." When we sin, we have to confess our sin. It says that your work, and see, at that time, Cain's work was agrarian. He was he was bringing fruit of the ground, and he said that it was going to be difficult for him to earn a living. It was going to be difficult for him to earn a living. See? Are you confessing your sins daily, brethren? Are you confessing your sins daily? Turn to Psalm 51. This is a psalm of David. And David had a relationship with Yahweh. And this just says, "For the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba." David had sinned with the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And after Nathan came to him and said, "You are the man," David wrote this psalm. Says, "Have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my sin, my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." There was a lot of ramifications because of this sin that David committed. See? He was the king of Israel. But David recognized and he confessed. He said, "And against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." David didn't start throwing out excuses. He didn't say, "It was so-and-so's fault that I did this. I mean, the woman was bathing on the rooftop, and I just got carried away. I saw this naked woman, and I just lost it." See, he didn't do that. He confessed his sins. And that's what we have to do, brethren, on a daily basis. You think about your life. where you've fallen short. And that's where the blood of Yahshua will come in and cover it. See, we have to be repentant sinners. We have to trust Yahweh. And if we trust Yahweh and confess our sins, he's going to forgive them. That's why the scripture's there. It says a righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. It's not something that we plan to do. We don't go out and, oh, today I'm going to do this sin. Tomorrow I'm going to do that sin. No. See, Satan is the one that's trying to bring us down. And for us to overcome this life from Satan the devil, we have to confess our sins. We have to go through this repentance cycle on a daily basis. We have to consider what we're doing and then confess our sins to Almighty Yahweh. Think about what you did yesterday and where you may have fallen short as far as Yahweh is concerned. And then you have to go and confess your sin, because Yahshua, his blood covers and cleanses each and every one of our sins. And a lot of people, for some reason, don't believe this. They don't understand. You know, if I'm baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be covered. This is the purpose of having that situation. In verse 8 it says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. In other words, David was going to then teach other sinners, and that's what we have to do, so that they will turn to Yahweh. That's the purpose. See? We've got to confess our sins. The third step is to commit. What new attitude is Yahweh calling you to add to your heart? Turn to Psalm 138. When people are sinning, they're blind to their sin. Most people can't see what they're doing wrong until their Nathan shows up to show them what Yahweh has for them. Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you with my whole heart. Before the Elohim will I sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. See, that's why the name of Yahweh is so important. But most people don't understand that. I asked a gentleman last night when I was witnessing to him about the term hallelujah. Do you know what it means? And he responded, it's the highest praise. I said, but why is it the highest praise? He didn't know. I said, you're praising his name. That's why. And you know, the light kind of clicked. And you could see he got it. But most people don't know. It's not being taught. He's a pastor. He's a minister, him and his wife. And when he was telling me the minister that he was working under, Bishop Martin, Paul Martin, right. That's who he worked with for 6 years. He was his personal assistant. And he was telling me, he told me some things. He had me crack it up. He is knowledgeable of the scriptures. He said he studied 3 years at the school and, you know, graduated, you know, and got his license to practice, the minister, him and his wife. But there's a lot of things, even as a minister, they don't know. So we discussed this, and he asked a lot of questions, and I gave him the answers. So I know Yahweh is working. Yahweh's touching hearts. He's moving people to repentance. In verse 3, it says in Psalm 138, "In the day that I called, you answered me. You did encourage me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Yahweh, for they have heard the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of Yahweh, for great is the glory of Yahweh. For though Yahweh is high, yet he has respect to the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the middle of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Yahweh will perfect that which concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Yahweh, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hand." And we are the work of Yahweh's hands, each and every one of us. And we don't want him to forsake us. And truly, he hasn't. That's why he's given us Yahshua the Messiah. See, we have been connected to the source, brethren. And that connection is the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Yahshua has given us the victory over Satan the devil. So we have to commit our new attitudes to Yahweh. Have we committed our lives to the Savior? Psalm 139, we'll start in verse 1. This is another psalm of David. "O Yahweh, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." When you look at the ways that you have, each one of us has been raised differently. I don't care if you're brothers, sisters. You're raised differently, even though you have the same set of parents. We're raised differently. And the reason is because each one of us are different. We take things differently, okay? You can have two people, even twins, and they're going to take information differently. They're going to take the affection and the love that they receive from their parents differently. But Yahweh knows each one of us is different, and each one of us has to come to the knowledge of what Yahweh wants us to do. We have to find out what our purpose is for his honor and his glory, not for our own, because we weren't created for our own glory. We were created for the glory of Yahweh. And when we come to that realization, then we can start making strides and solving the problems and issues of our life. Because Yahweh knows us. "You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Yahweh, you know it altogether." And we know that this whole issue between Yahweh and Satan is based on words. Satan has used the word against us. He went to Eve and told her a lie. He got Cain to lie to Yahweh and to kill his brother. He took something that didn't belong to him, which was his brother's life. We cannot allow Satan to come between us and Yahweh, brethren. We have to stay connected to the source. We have to be at one with Yahweh. This is what the Day of Atonement is all about, becoming at one with Yahweh. And that's what we're working towards. Becoming one with the Father and the Son. And when we commit our hearts to Almighty Yahweh, we can become one with him and his Son. Verse 5, it says, "You have beset me behind and before and have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave and Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the farthest parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Yahweh is telling us that he's going to be with us every step of the way, every hour of the day, every minute of the hour, and every second. He's there with us. We just can't reject him. And that's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants to come between us and Yahweh and have us reject Yahweh. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. We all are our brother's keeper. We have to look out for one another. This is why we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. If you love your neighbor, are you not your brother's keeper? Yes. We want the best for them. We want them to keep the covenant. We want them to have a relationship with Almighty Yahweh. We want them to know Yahshua the Messiah. In verse 11 it says, if I say, surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night. Even the darkness hides not from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, for you did form my inward parts. You did cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and curiously worked in the lowest parts of the earth. This particular part of biology is fascinating. See, how a child is formed from the seed of a mother and a father. How those bones are formed. This is a miracle. But you know what? It's a miracle of life that Yahweh has given. You know, and man is constantly trying to teach this lie, it's evolution. You know, it just happened. No. Yahweh's in control, brethren. This is why we have to go through these four steps. We have to consider, confess, and commit ourselves to Yahweh. Have we committed our lives to the Savior? And when you do that, you've given up the world. Regardless of what consequences come, you must receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You must be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Verse 16, it says, your eyes did see my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them, even before I was born, they were ordained. Yahweh knows how special you are, how precious you are in his sight. In verse 17, it says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O Elf. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Surely you will kill the wicked, O Eloah. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. They're speaking against Yahweh. And your enemies take your name in vain. And that's something we cannot do. Do not I hate them, O Yahweh, that hate you? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O El, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. We know in Jeremiah 17 it talks about the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. But Yahshua, through his shed blood, has joined our hearts to Almighty Yahweh. And that's where the change comes in. Number four, how do these new attitudes and actions need to be expressed in your daily life? Turn to Luke 19. We'll see how. Luke 19. We're going to start in verse 1. Luke 19, 1. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican. You know, chief means the number one. You know, he's the top dog. And he was rich. And a publican was a tax collector. And they were looked down upon by the religious establishment. You know, they were considered sinners. And he sought to see Yahshua, who he was, and could not for the crowd because he was little of stature. He was a little guy, short man. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Yahshua came to the place, and he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. See, Yahshua didn't have to worry about where he was going to stay because he knew wherever he went that he had a place to go. Because he told some of the disciples, the foxes have holes, but the Messiah, you know, didn't have a residence, a permanent residence at that time when he was traveling. But you know what? All of the homes belong to him. As I said earlier, our home don't belong to us, it belongs to Yahweh. See? And Zacchaeus came to that realization. Verse 7, after Zacchaeus had received him joyfully, talking about Yahshua. And then in verse 7 it says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he has gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner. And this is the religious authority at that time. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the teacher, behold, Rabbi, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have wrongfully exacted anything of any man, I restore fourfold. And Yahshua said to him, today is salvation come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. It's important for us, brethren, that we understand our purpose, that we understand what Yahweh wants each and every one of us to do. I'm going to read a little excerpt from one of the books that I'm reading right now called The Treasure Principle. And this is page 79. It says, it ought to be the business of every day to prepare for our last day, because what we do on this earth does matter. It says, Alfred Noble dropped the newspaper and put his head in his hands. It was 1888. Noble was a Swedish chemist who made his fortune inventing and producing dynamite. His brother Ludwig had died in France. But now Alfred's grief was compounded by dismay. He had just read an obituary in a French newspaper. Not his brother's obituary, but his. An editor has confused the brothers. The headline read, "The Merchant of Death is Dead." Alfred Noble's obituary described a man who had gotten rich by helping people kill one another. Shaken by this appraisal of his life, Noble resolved to use his wealth to change his legacy. When he died 8 years later, he left more than $9 million to fund awards for people whose work benefited humanity. The awards became known as the Nobel Peace Prize or the Nobel Prizes. And people who do wonderful things like Mahatma Gandhi and even Martin Luther King won Nobel Peace Prizes. Alfred Nobel had a rare opportunity to look at the assessment of his life at its end and still have a chance to change it before his life was over. Nobel made sure he had invested his wealth in something of lasting value. He didn't want to be known as the merchant of death. And see, how many people know of Nobel as being a man that sold dynamite to kill people, you know, bombs, you know, he was like a merchant of death. But how many people remember him that way? Nobody. They remember him because of the Nobel Peace Prize, because of the good that his money is doing long after he's dead. And that's what we have to do. And when we are going through this repentance process, we're looking to make the changes in our life on a regular basis, every day. Yahshua came to call a people to salvation, to sacrifice and give his life for the life of every sinner. Remember, Yahweh has given you everything you need for life and holiness. Turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in righteousness of our Elohim and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of Yahweh and of Yahshua our Master, seeing that his supernatural power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the heavenly nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, we know that if we lust after things, it's a sin. You can have whatever you want. You can desire to have a nice home. And Yahweh is the one that blesses you with the funds to get it. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But we're not supposed to covet someone else's. We're not supposed to lust after evil things, as it says in Jacob 4. Actually, I want to just jump over there real quick just for a second. Jacob 4, it says, from where come wars and where come fightings among you? Come they not from here, even from your pleasure that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever therefore would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. And when it talks about the warring in the members, we think back to Cain. How? It says you kill and covet. He coveted what Yahweh gave to Abel, which was just Yahweh had respect to Abel's offering. And to Cain's offering, he had not respect. Now, Cain probably knew why Yahweh didn't respect the offering. They don't tell us in the text, you know. Because Cain offered from the ground. And obviously, you know, we can surmise that maybe this was a Passover offering or whatever, because Abel gave of the flock. And if Cain would have, if that's the offering that was expected, what Cain should have done was bought it with Abel so he could offer the same offering so that Yahweh would have had respect for his offering. But no, what happened? He got angry. He allowed sin to enter the picture. And Yahweh told him, there's sin crouching at the door. To you is its desire. See? He could have walked away. He didn't have to entertain it, but he entertained it. And that's what we can't do. We got to go through this repentance process and cast it away. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 5, yes, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, holiness, and in your holiness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Did Cain show Abel love? No, he didn't. He killed his brother. He took his life away. And see, he was following the evil one. He allowed Satan to disconnect him from Yahweh through sin. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful to the knowledge of our sovereign, Yahshua the Messiah. For he who lacks these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sin. Therefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall you be richly supplied to you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our sovereign and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. We want to win this war, the war of words. We want to overcome this life. So for us to do so, we have to be raised from the dead. See? Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live in it? Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into the Messiah Yahshua were baptized into his death? See, we died, brethren. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as the Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was impaled with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. We cannot be in bondage to sin, brethren, if we've accepted the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Uh, I'll read verse 8 again. But if we died with the Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that the Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives to Yahweh. Also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to Yahweh in the Messiah Yahshua. See, we have the victory over Satan the devil. We are connected to Yahweh. He can't come between us and Yahweh because the blood of Yahshua the Messiah has defeated him. And if we've accepted Yahshua's shed blood, we've defeated Satan as well. We have the victory. All we have to do is continue. Endure to the end. Do not allow sin, in verse 12, to reign in your mortal body, brethren, that you should obey the lust of it. Neither present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to Yahweh as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law or the penalty of the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the penalty of the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin to death, or Satan to death, or of obedience to righteousness, Yahshua to righteousness. But thanks be to Elohim, that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. How do we do this, brother? Become servants of righteousness, we have to repent on a daily basis. We have to give ourselves to Almighty Yahweh through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. You didn't care about it. You didn't need it. What fruit did you have at that time in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and having become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruits to sanctification and the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. See, we've been given the victory. All we have to do is maintain and live serving Yahweh. We have been given the free gift of eternal life if we only endure to the end. In Matthew 24:13, it says, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That's Matthew 24:13. This book that these sermons were based on is called The War of Words. And I'm going to read a little bit out of it. On page 199, War of Words. Winning the War of Words. We've identified the battle. It's not just a war of vocabulary or techniques. It is a war for the control of our hearts. Will we submit to the King? Yahweh of hosts is the King. Rest in his loving control and seek to represent him in our relationships. For most of us, this means repenting of a self-centeredness that causes our words to hinder the work of Yahweh. It means permitting ourselves to a view that ministry is not one small aspect of our lives, but a lifestyle. This lifestyle reflects our calling by Yahweh to be his ambassadors in the everyday situations of life. And this is what happens. When people see you, how do they view you? Your neighbors. How do they view you? Your coworkers. How do they view you? As a worshiper of Yahweh? Or as another sinner out there? Our words are the principal tool Yahweh uses in the work he does through us. So we confess to our selfish, wandering hearts, and we commit to putting on a new way of speaking, one that takes our calling seriously. There is one more point to consider. How can you and I achieve a lasting victory in the war of words? Because we know words matter. Words can destroy. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. Galatians 5:1. It says, "For freedom the Messiah set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage or in sin." That's what he's talking about. Then drop down to verse 13. It says, "For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would." If Cain would have just done this and accepted the correction of Yahweh, see, he would not have killed his brother. I'm going to read this again in verse 17. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law or the penalty of the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh." They can't be a part of it. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law." There's no penalty for that. See, because you're keeping the commandments. You're doing the things that are right in the eyes of Yahweh. So there's no penalty there. There's no law against that. "And they that are of the Messiah Yahshua have impaled the flesh with the passions and the lust of it. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another." That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants people to envy one another. He wants us to provoke one another. He wants us to tear down one another. He wants to come between us and Yahweh. That's the battle. But you know what? When we're connected to the source, Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah, we have the armor of Yahweh. We can defeat Satan. In Galatians 6, drop down to, we'll start in verse 1. It says, brethren, even if a man is overtaken in any trespass, any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourselves, lest you also be tempted. So if somebody in our midst goes off and sins, what are we supposed to do? We restore them with the spirit of gentleness. We don't hit them over the head with the Bible. We show them love. Because we want to be loved. If we've gone off the path, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Messiah. If any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glory and in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor. For each man shall bear his own burden. But see, that was a problem with the leaders of Israel at that time. They wanted to be seen of the people. They wanted the glory of men more than the glory of Yahweh. And we can't be like that. We know that there's a cycle of repentance, and we have to go through that. But let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And that's what we want, brethren. We want to be connected to Almighty Yahweh. We want to be connected to the source. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, like I said, if we continue to the end. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially them that are of the household of faith. Winning the war involves recognizing the destructive power of words. You know, you can say something to someone in many different ways. And you can say the same thing in a loving way, and you can say it in a hateful way. But we want to keep our brethren and speak to them in a very positive manner. Paul warns us to watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. In the Garden of Eden, we saw the life-altering power of the words as the serpent convinced Eve to eat the fruit. All over Scripture, the importance of what we say and how we say it is depicted. We will never win the war of words as long as we minimize how crucial a battle it is. Yahweh has ordained us to be people of influence. Husband influences his wife and vice versa. Parents influence children. Friend influences friend. A pastor influences his flock, and so on. And the most powerful way we influence each other is through words, which encourage, rebuke, explain, teach, define, condemn, love, question, divide, unite, sell, counsel, judge, reconcile, war, worship, slander, and edify. People have influence, and words have power. It is the way Yahweh meant it to be. So we must never minimize our sins of communication. I really didn't mean it. His bark is worse than his bite. I just wasn't thinking. I was joking. You know, a lot of truth is said in jest. What's in your heart comes out. Think about it. She knows what I really think about her. Paul reminds us that what we say has consequences. We are always representing Yahweh. It is never okay to communicate in ways that contradict his message, his methods, and his character. And that's powerful, brethren. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of Yahweh. And we must always recognize the destructive power of words. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. It says, finally be strong in Yahweh, and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles is tricks of the devil. See? In Genesis, Genesis 3:13, Eve said that the serpent beguiled her or tricked her. We have been prepared for all of Satan's tricks, brethren. We know he's trying to bring us down. For our wrestling in Ephesians 6:12 is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And that's what we have to do, brother. We know that Satan is trying to use each one of us and to bring us down, to destroy us so that we don't make that kingdom. The battle is for life, brethren. It's truly for your life. Verse 14, it says in Ephesians 6, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the definition of righteousness is from Deuteronomy 6:24-25, and that's the keeping of the commandments. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the evangel of peace, and with all taking up the shield of faith, which with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Doesn't say that you're going to miss some of them. It says you can quench them all. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh, and with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit and watching for it in all perseverance and in supplication for all the saints and on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the good tidings, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we see Paul here saying that these words that he's going to be speaking are going to be bold for Almighty Yahweh. The evil day is coming soon, brethren. Praying at all seasons in the Spirit is what we need to do, to be prepared. Our closing, just turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, to the elect, who are sojourners of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the knowledge of Yahweh the Father, and sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who according to his great mercy begat us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of Yahweh are guarded through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in the last days, in which you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. But we know from Psalm, I think it's 34, it says the righteous, matter of fact, let me just turn to it real quick. I don't want to misquote. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and Yahweh will deliver him out of them all. That's Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh will deliver them out of them all. Deliver him out of them all. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1. After it says, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, whom not having seen you love, on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, we haven't seen Yahshua the Messiah. We weren't living during the time that he was physically on this planet. But we believe on Yahshua from the words of the apostles. We believe because we've been taught, and we have faith in Yahshua the Messiah. It says in verse 8, whom not having seen you love. And we do love Yahshua because of what he did for us. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, concerning with salvation, the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of the Messiah which was in them did point to, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not to themselves but to you did they minister these things, which now have been announced to you through them that preach the good tidings to you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living, how you go about walking in this world. Wherever you go, you have to be holy in all manner of living, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work. So there is some work we have to do, brethren, even though we have grace. past the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you have redeemed, you were redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers. Money cannot do it, brethren, and you can't take it with you. That's why this treasure principle is so powerful about giving to bless and help others who are in need. We're putting money in our bank account in heaven. The kingdom is coming to this earth, but we're going to be ready because the good things that we do are being placed in our account. We're making deposits. Because we've been redeemed by the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, not by the corruptible things with silver or gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of the Messiah, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of the times for your sake, who through him are believers in Yahweh, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. And that's where our faith and hope is. It's in Yahweh because of Yahshua the Messiah, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth and to the unfeigned love of the brethren. It's unpretended. It's for real. Love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of Yahweh, which lives and endures. See, that word of Yahweh is powerful. The word of Yahweh has given us the ability to overcome this world. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of it as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. But the word of Yahweh endures forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached to you. See, so that word that we hear became flesh. That word is Yahshua the Messiah. It ought to be the business of every day in our lives to prepare for our last day. And how we do that is to be connected to the source each and every day through Yahshua the Messiah, because he is the one that made it possible for us to be at one with Almighty Yahweh. I hope and pray that each one of us understands the importance of being connected to the source, to be connected to Almighty Yahweh. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to do his will and to do that which is right in his sight. At this time, if you stand, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we come before you thanking and praising your holy name. We thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high, for your word made flesh, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and gave us the opportunity at life everlasting through overcoming this world and giving his life as a sacrifice and his blood, his shed blood covering each and every one of our sins. Father, we know that this is a great sacrifice and that truly it's his sacrifice and only his sacrifice that's given us the victory over Satan the devil. So as we come to you as our brother's keeper and as those who are seeking to do your will, Father, help us as we go forth into this world to share the glad tidings with the people around us and the hope that is within our hearts to be a part of your kingdom, part of your first fruits, which are soon coming to this earth. Father, we thank you, and we ask that you would continue to bless your servants and to bless this ministry. Help us, Father, fulfill the Great Commission as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us for any shortcoming and sinful nature that you find within us. and help us, Father, to repent, to go through that cycle on a daily basis, to make sure that we are at one with you, that we are pure in your eyes as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. For our closing song, we're going to sing number 11, I believe it is. Create in me a clean heart. It's number 11.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh, Yahweh, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, Yahweh, and renew a right spirit. Casting out away from thy presence, O Yah, and save not thy Holy Spirit from thee. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart,
oh Yahweh,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart, oh Yahweh,
and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh Yah, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Yah, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right